May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, there's this wonderful metaphorical, poetic description, celebration that the Lord Jesus has of this emerging believer, this believer who's in pursuit of fullness, in pursuit of a yielded life, fully yielded Christ-likeness. In chapter 5, it's reciprocated, and there is this picture of giving in poetic language of the believer, the Shulamite here, just praising him and certain things and attributes and characteristics about him that she's come to discover. That Psalm 27 that we've quoted so many times over the last few years is such a fascinating verse when David lays out what his real priority in life is. This one thing I have asked that I shall continue to seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold his beauty and inquire of him. And again, when he talks about dwelling in the house of the Lord, he didn't mean he's going to pack his bags and go move into the tabernacle of David. He meant he just wanted to live in close proximity to the presence of the Lord. He wanted to abide in the Lord's presence. And he wanted to behold his beauty, all the attributes, all the characteristics of God. He wanted to discover all the things about him and then discuss them with God, talk about them. It's an endless discovery. And so here we have this growing believer who's growing in their experience of their union with Christ, becoming more Christ-like. There's just some wonderful things that are said in this chapter 5, beginning in verse 10. We're going to skip most of them. We don't have time for all that. But it does say this, a couple of things I want you to see. And again, this is this person's discovery in this journey about the Lord Jesus. His eyes are like doves. And we know from doves, the doves here are mourning doves, and one of the great characteristics about doves, they have extraordinary peripheral vision. That's why they're so hard to shoot out of the air. I think I told this story a number of times, but the first time I ever learned to hunt, a friend of mine who went to church here, John Rowell, who taught me how to shoot and taught me how to hunt, took me into a field to teach me how to dove hunt. And the whole time we're hunting, I'm shooting. But John is just talking to me about Jesus and wanting to ask more questions about this Christ he was discovering. And if you know anything about John Rowell and his history, it was a fascinating thing for him to see his life being transformed. But he wasn't paying attention to me. And so I'd shot a bunch of dove. I thought, this is not so hard. I heard it was really easy. And so after I'd shot about 15 or so, I said, John, I'm doing really, really good. He says, you're doing great, Chuck. You've pretty much wiped out the mockingbird population of Dallas County. Those things move real slow, like an aircraft carrier, barely fluffing it. But when I actually started shooting at real doves, I realized how hard they actually were to hit. But one of the great characteristics biblically about a dove is a dove will only mate one time. They're very loyal. And when they do mate, and if their mate should die, thus the term mourning, not M-O-R, but M-O-U-R, mourning dove, they'll mourn the rest of their life and never mate again. And so when he talks about his eyes being like doves, he's talking about his fierce loving kindness. The Hebrew word for loving kindness is his loyal love. He delights in unending love in reference to you and me. It's important to understand that characteristic about him in light of what I'm going to share with you in just a second. Because I have people ask me over the years, how do you know it's the voice of the Lord? Well, I would say, well, how do I know it's the voice of Bill? If Bill calls me on the phone, how do I know it's Bill? Well, I know Bill's voice. I know what Bill's voice sounds like. And one of the things we have to learn is what does God's voice sound like? And what does his voice not sound like? The scripture says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So whatever it is he's talking to you about, Even if he's convicting you about something, there's not going to be condemnation and shame and rejection in his voice. If that's what you're hearing is making you feel, then it's not God. His love for me is an unending love and fierce. He says in verse 13, his cheeks, in the Song of Solomon, cheeks like rosy cheeks, speak of the emotions. It says his cheeks are like a bed of balsam, banks of sweet scented herbs. And the balsam is the same word we get balm, or the balm of Gilead. And throughout the Old Testament, the balm of Gilead was an oil of healing. It was applied to bring relief for pain. So it's important you understand this, that he delights in unending love as far as you're concerned. He doesn't wait for you to get mature and to become perfect to love you and enjoy you. He loves you, and it's a loyal love that can never go away. And his emotions are full of the desire to bring healing to you. Not to hurt you, not to rub it in, and even if you've come to him in failure, to bring healing to you. And then it describes his voice. His lips are lilies, dripping with liquid myrrh. Liquid myrrh, if you remember, is the death spice. It's the spice they would rub, one of the spices they would rub to help preserve the body. It speaks of God's proven tenderness, a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He died for you. And his voice is going to carry a tone of proven tenderness. He's already proven his compassion for you. So his voice is going to have compassion. It's going to have healing. It's going to carry an unconditional love, even if it comes across as correction. You do know you can correct somebody and even discipline them without the sounds of rejection and condemnation. And it says his lips are lilies. There are two terms in the Song of Solomon that speak of new life or new creation. One of them is the cedars of Lebanon. The other is lilies. When Jesus speaks to us, he's always speaking to the new person we are in Christ, to the new creation that we are. Not to the behavior that looks like the old man. He'll point out the behavior, but he'll call forth the new creation. He calls us forth into the new life he paid such a price for. It's always about drawing forth new life, drawing forth new creation, reminding you of who you really are in him and be who you really are in him. Kind of like the prodigal son and his father's response to him. It says when the prodigal son finally reached the bottom, it says that he came to his senses. And their language there is he came to himself. And he realized, what am I doing here? Eating the foods of pigs, I would be better just being a servant in my father's house. So he went to his father's house, and his father ran to him, looking for him, and kissed him again and again on his neck, put the ring on his finger, threw a party for him, and celebrated him once again taking his place as who he really was. The only person mad was the religious brother. Sounds like a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ, who's full of religion and self-righteousness and condemnation and guilt. Aren't you glad that God doesn't think about you and talk about you or talk to you because he's influenced by what other people say about you or think about you? One of the ways you learn how to recognize his voice. Bill's voice has certain tones. I know it's Bill. The voice of the Lord has certain tones. It's full of life, calling me forth to a new creation. Not condemnation. Full of proven tenderness. He was tempted in every way likened to us. He understands. Not guilt, condemnation, rejection. He never rubs it in, never feels better because he gets even by pouting or speaking things into us that make us hurt more. His emotions are to heal, to bring healing, to call us forth to life. If all you do is speak to a person about how bad they are, you're just so bad. You're always so bad. Why do you always act so bad? You're just so terrible and so bad. You're just a really bad kid. What is that? We've done left inner healing. What does that kid come away with? It's like a curse. I just think they're really bad. That's not how Jesus deals with us. He deals with what we did, and that reminds us who you are in me. You're a new creation. This is not you. And in tenderness calls us forth and heals us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.